worry, no sweets. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school. My household smell like soul food, bro. Curry food.
What's up, Beardos? Welcome to episode 18 of The Bearded Vegans. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you could find all of our previous episodes on the Commentist Network at thecommentist.com. And you can reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at thebeardedvegans.
So in today's episode, we will go over some announcements, find out what we have been up to over the holidays, and then move on into an in-depth review, different than an interview, an in-depth review of Plant Pure Nation, the newest film from the writer and producer of Forks Over Knives. So let's get into the announcements. What do we got?
So we just have two quick things that I wanted to talk about. One is if you listened to episode 16 with the interview
of The Bearded Vegans, I'm Paul.
I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded.
If you listen to episode 16 of The Bearded Vegans, we interviewed some of the folks from No New Animal Lab. And they have a big action coming up in New York City on January 15th and 17th. It's a big storm, Skanska. And if you don't know anything about it, if you haven't listened to the interview, it's basically a big public pressure campaign to get the corporation that's responsible for building this giant new animal lab to pull out. So all about pulling out.
Skanska.
Got to be safe. So anyway, you can find out more about that at nonewanimallab.com. And the other thing I wanted to plug is the Compassionate Activist Network, or CAN. And the reason I want to do that is because we talk a lot about problems and in the movement. And as Paul mentioned last episode, we don't often talk about solutions other than, hey, saying don't do that and stuff. And so if you're someone that's listening and you're looking for a way to get active, there's so many ways to do it. One way that I found is really easy is to sign up and be a part of CAN. And you can find out about CAN at can.farmusa.org. And basically what it is, it's a way to incentivize activism. So if you want a leaflet, if you want to do pay-per-view, if you want to host like an eat-in, there's a whole range of things. And you do these things and then you can get points that you can redeem for cash, or you can get gift certificates to vegan businesses and things like that. So including Compassion Company. So I don't know, I figured I'd give that a plug because I know a lot of people don't know about it and it's a really good resource. And if you're going to be doing activism anyway, you might as well get some rewards for it.
10,000 CAN points will give you 1% off of your next Compassion Company order over $300.
Yes. All right. So that's it for the announcements.
So, obviously, we had the because I don't know when you're listening to this, but we had the holiday weekend this past weekend. It's currently Monday the 28th. So, Andy, how was your holiday? Did you do anything special for it?
Yeah, well, before the holiday weekend, there was the weekend before Christmas weekend. before. And I went down to New York City to table at the V-Spot Holiday Market. And V-Spot is the newest in a series of people that are putting on these little pop-up markets of all vegan vendors in New York City, which are a lot of fun. Paul was supposed to come but decided to spend time with Kylo Ren instead. And it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. V-Spot's a great restaurant. They have a lot of good food. But in the back room was this little market. And a vendor I never heard of was Eludes. And I think I'm pronouncing that right. And they had panadas, which is different than an empanada because a lot of the filling stuff goes on top instead of inside of it. But they were freaking great. And they had cassava cake. Have you ever had that before?
Never even heard of it.
Neither had I. It's kind of this like almost gelatinous type cake. And it's like heavily on the ginger. It's quite spicy, but not like overwhelming. And really good. So if you ever get a chance to check out anything from Eludes, do it. And two of my other favorite vendors in the whole wide world were there, Fanciful Fox and Gone Pie. And Fanciful Fox is all small handmade batches of soap and beard oil and lip balms, and they make it in Brooklyn. And they're very, they have signage that's like, we're vegan for the animals. It's not an accident that our stuff is vegan.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they're just very upfront about the ethics of what they create. And Gone Pie makes just Such good stuff. I picked up a coconut cream pie. Everything is gluten-free, if that's your thing. And if it's not, it's still all very good. And Barbara, who makes everything, only uses ethically sourced chocolate and just all the good stuff that a lot of vegan companies don't account for. So plugs for Fanciful Fox and Gone Pie.
Nice.
And as promised, afterwards, I went to Superiority Burger.
Which I was disappointed that I couldn't, I wasn't able to test.
This burger is the one that GQ magazine listed as like the best burger of the year, and it caused a big stir. And the, you know, the headlines were like, the best burger of the year is vegan. And it's not entirely true because the place isn't vegan. It's vegetarian. The burger default comes with cheese on it, so you have to ask for it vegan. So I feel like vegan's a little...
Strike one, GQ. Yeah. Strike one.
Bearded vegan setting you straight. But you just say, hey, no cheese. And like everything, it's tiny. Like you walk in and the customer standing area is about 10 by 10. And the seats, there's like a few seats, but they're kind of like built into the wall and you have to sit down. And then like the table like swings down in front of you like a high school desk. Very tiny. And the burgers, we posted a picture. You can find it on our Instagram at The Beard Vegans. It's kind of like a jacked up White Castle burger. Like it's small. It's not this giant burger.
Yeah.
But the patty is like an inch and a half thick. And it was...
Drum roll.
It was pretty good.
Woo!
I don't know if it's the best burger I've ever had. I'm kind of surprised that GQ gave it the best burger. It was super flavorful. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I immediately wanted another one.
Maybe you just don't have the refined palate of the GQ author.
That's entirely possible. But, you know, it's kind of the consistency was still like a mushy, lentily bean kind of patty.
Yeah.
Which wasn't bad because it was small and they really crisp it up on the outside. And the flavors are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to eat there again. So it was just curious because it wasn't something that had like a super meaty texture.
Do you know what it's made out of?
I don't know. It's probably a secret.
Probably.
But people that I met at the market beforehand said, you got to get the sides because the sides are where it's at. And I got this thing that was like pickled beets. And it came with dill, some fresh dill, fried pretzels on top.
Whoa.
Which are just like those like little like airplane type pretzels. And so it's like I couldn't even tell they were fried because those things are naturally crunchy.
Yeah.
And then they're served in this little container that on the bottom of it is jalapeno cream cheese.
Whoa.
It was really good. It was really cool.
And the cream cheese was default vegan?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, and basically everything on the menu, there's just like burger, here are the sides. Like there's no room. And they also have a Yuba dish, which is like a cheesesteak thing, but that's not even on the menu. And I was just told that you should ask
secret
for it.
Menu.
And I had forgotten to ask for it. But they posted a picture on their Instagram later, and I was like, I should have gotten that because it looked amazing.
Really? Huh.
But yeah, so Superiority Burger, I can't wait to go there again. And hopefully I'll bring you with me when May comes around and we're down for the New York City Veg Food Fest.
Did you meet any beardos?
Sadly, the market was sparsely attended, and no new beardos that I hadn't already met before.
Yeah.
But I was also given a tip by Shoshana, who runs the market, that Superiority Burger is a mere 5-minute walk from Blythe Ann's, which is a name that just rolls off the tongue. It's the new version of Lula's. Have you ever been to Lula's, Paul?
I don't think so.
It's an ice cream shop.
Okay.
Old-timey ice cream shop, and they have this amazing like cashew and coconut-based ice cream, and they have really weird hours, so it's like hard to get their stuff, and it was run by a couple, and they divorced, and then shut down for a while, and then Blythe Ann, who I guess is the person who is like the real mastermind behind the ice cream.
Who trained under Kylo Ren.
reopened it. And so I walked down there, and normally there's like a line out the door. And granted, it was freezing cold. There's no reason for anyone to have ice cream. But I went in, and I got their soft serve, which is cake batter.
Ooh.
And it was amazing. It was so good. I didn't have any regrets getting this
nice
ice cream. So
nice.
It was delicious. And if you're ever, it's Tompkins Square Park. So if you're ever in that area, you can do that 1-2 combo.
1-2 combo.
Yep. bring by your spirity burger and just have them put ice cream right on it.
That's awesome. I'm glad you got to try it. I'm bummed I didn't get to try it, but hopefully next time we're down there, we'll get to try it.
Yeah. I'll get to try it. And so my Christmas was cool. I see my parents only a few times a year at this point, and my sister even less, very small family. So we all just hung out and played games for like 3 days straight, and it was fantastic.
Nice.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. I live like 30 minutes away from my parents, so I get to see them pretty frequently. And I live with my brother, so I get to see him very frequently. But we hung out back at my parents' place. I also have a pretty small family too, but they made some good stuff. I had some tofurkey, this like white asparagus. I don't know if I've ever had white asparagus before.
Neither have I.
It's good. Just like some veggies. I told them not to like make me any extravagant desserts, so they didn't. But my grandma pretty much exclusively makes vegan cookies at this point, so I had a lot of cookies.
Nice.
But yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was good.
We just moments ago were watching Plant Pure Nation, and Paul goes to the kitchen to grab something. And he comes back with like half of a tofurkey roast and just ate it all right next to me. So speaking of which, let's move on into our review of Plant Pure Nation.
The culture in America is that everything revolves around food and unhealthy food.
The healthcare cost trajectory is out of control because the consumers are not in charge.
This is clearly an unsustainable trend.
We're not telling people how to use food.
Red meat, beef, green beans with bacon and butter.
When we talk about this idea of plant-based nutrition, it's a powerful concept, and it's one that my father is associated with.
Dr. Colin Campbell, doc.
Whole foods, plants-based diet.
Right.
You don't mean the store.
No.
I went on essentially a plant-based diet. No dairy, no meat.
Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, hypertension. Gone.
The plot synopsis from IMDb. The documentary film Plant Pure Nation tells the story of three people on a quest to spread the message of one of the most important health breakthroughs of all time.
And it's also important to note, because I had not heard about it until Andy told me about it. It literally, no, not literally just came out, but it came out very recently. Yeah. Or it was, you said it was doing like the kind of private screening rounds, but...
Yeah, I like to consider myself someone who's like pretty plugged into things of this nature and knowing about them, you know, in advance and often contributing to the Kickstarters and whatnot. And this is something that I guess kind of flew under my radar until I started to see friends posting that they were hosting screenings. And I just went on the website to see how, if there's any near me that I could go see, and there wasn't, but you could order the DVD. And so that's how we watched it, just here at Paul's house at the Commentist headquarters. And the DVD shipped on November 21st, and they had been doing screenings before that. So I don't know exactly what the plan for the rollout of this whole thing is, but you can buy the DVD. You can also rent it for, I think, $6.95 through their website, which I'm assuming is plantpurenation.com.
Let's find out. It is plantpurenation.com.
All right. Good detective work on my part.
So, it was kind of like a similar Forks Over Knives type movie, where it's focused in the sense that it's focusing on just the like the health aspects of a plant-based diet. Andy noted that they didn't use the word vegan until a good way into the movie. I would like
They only used it, I think, once, when they actually sort of made a differentiation between whole food plant-based and vegan, and saying that you could be a junk food vegan.
Yeah.
Which we can talk more about that phrase later on.
But then also, I think, and I was surprised by this, I think in one of the segments where it was the kind of main protagonist of the movie slash the person that was making the movie, which is Nelson Campbell, when he's talking to one of his kind of like test groups that he's getting to do his little experiment that we can talk about. I don't know if experiment's the right word, but to do his project, he does use the word vegan or vegetarian and vegetarian too, which is funny because it's like, that's something that I feel like if he's trying to get people to do it would turn some people off, but
Yeah. So let's expand a little bit, explain a little more what the film is for those who have not seen it, which I'm assuming is probably most people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the film follows Nelson Campbell, who is T. Colin Campbell's son, the author of, or co-author of, China Study.
Mm-hmm.
And basically is just sort of him kind of taking the torch of the findings that his father had, which was eating animal products is bad for you, and eating whole food plant-based diet, low in oils and salts and sugars, is good for you. And them trying to make this into legislation. That's sort of like the main narrative thrust of the film, mm-hmm. is getting lawmakers to recognize this. And throughout the journey, they talk about doing these little 10-day jump starts where they'll get, you know, people and provide them with all the food they need, all the meals pre-made for them just to heat up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, measure their cholesterol and the LDL, and then before and after.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of interesting that the film focused more on that than weight. Weight was mentioned a few times,
yeah.
But it wasn't like the main thing. It wasn't like, here's a weight loss movie. It was like, here's your heart health movie.
Yeah. Well, one thing about that, too, I mean, I think that makes sense because since all these jumpstart programs, I don't even know if it ever explicitly said it, but it seemed like they were all 10 days because it always showed the results after one day and after 10 days.
Yeah.
But, or on the first day and after 10 days. But it's like, I feel like you can't, like, drop that much weight in 10 days. That would be like, wow. Like, I mean, it's like I'm sure some of them did drop weight by eating that kind of diet, but it was probably like 2 or 3 pounds in 10 days. And that's not something that's going to be like, wow. Cause they kept being like, oh, your cholesterol dropped 80 points and stuff like that. And those are numbers that are like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, you dropped 2 pounds. And it's like, that might be like, they may have dropped that in a very healthy fashion, but it's not going to wow people to hear that.
Well, usually, as someone who's done many diets, the first week of a diet, you lose like much more than you will any other week because there's like water weight your body adjusting and stuff. But I'm curious if like cholesterol is kind of the same thing. Like, obviously, you're not going to keep dropping 80 points every 10 days until you're dead. But yeah, so they go through these jump starts and then they use several jump starts as sort of their basis to try and pass amendments or resolutions. And they use a bunch of different terms. They try to explain the lawmaking process and make it fun and exciting. And we can talk about if that succeeded or not. And that's basically the whole narrative arc of the film. And throughout it, they do interview a lot of figureheads that those in the sort of vegan health community will recognize: Michael Greger, Neil Barnard. And there's obviously, you know, T. Colin Campbell are all in there. Esselstyn's in there. And then a couple other people that I hadn't heard of before. Mm-hmm. So let me just start and get... What was your general impression of the film?
I thought it was good. I think from a purely like more... Like what's going to be the most effective, I guess. I think I would show People, Forks Over Knives over Plant Pure Nation. Although they are very similar. I think that Forks Over Knives has a bit more of a punch to it. Like, Plant Pure Nation, what we were just kind of saying, the biggest kind of, like, punch that it has is it keeps doing these, running these 10-day jumpstart programs, and people keep having, like, drastic drops in their cholesterol and, blood sugar levels and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of, like, where it has its... like exciting factor to it, I feel like, whereas Forks Over Knives, I think, is just a little bit more of an exciting movie. Also, they touch upon how the all these politicians don't want to make changes because they're being backed by like the agricultural industry and the meat and dairy industry and all that stuff. But if you wanted to make that point, I would suggest watching Cowspiracy instead, which like really gets into that. Even though Cowspiracy kind of is trying to make a different point, I guess it's much better at exposing all this kind of financial backing in the political game type stuff than this movie does, which just kind of touches on it.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny you say that. I hadn't thought about it until you just mentioned it, but it's kind of like the inverse of Cowspiracy in terms of the focus, because Cowspiracy is this whole film about environmental impact, a little bit about sort of ethical nature or qualms, or, you know, the ethical conundrum of eating animals. And then there's just this, like, 3-minute segment where he goes to visit a doctor and he's like, of course you can be healthy. And this is sort of like, there's this whole movie about the health aspects of it. And then they, surprisingly, actually, they have a very little section on how bad it is for the environment. Yeah. I was surprised that they, but happy that they included that as just sort of, it's just, to me, it just felt like they were kind of like, well, we can't totally ignore this. And it's a popular issue. And it's also just like another reason to care about these things.
And same thing with at the very, very end of the movie, they were like, oh, and by the way, you can, like, by living this kind of plant-based lifestyle, you'll also be resisting, like, you'll be resisting the terrible ways that animals are treated in this industry. And that's, like, I think that's the only thing that they mentioned about that. And I feel like it was similar to, I think, I haven't seen Forks Over Knives in a while. I think Forks Over Knives did that, too. There was just, like, one little segment where they go to, like, a farm sanctuary or something like that.
I think it was probably Gene Bauer, and he kind of briefly mentions, like, hey, if we could not cause harm, you know, why wouldn't we?
Yeah. Do you think that that's, like, necessary and effective? Do you think it's a good thing they mentioned in both those movies? And in Cowspiracy, too, when you were just mentioning, they kind of briefly bring in the health thing. Like, is it necessary to do that kind of stuff? Or do you think... Because, I mean, for us, for people that are already vegan, I guess it's like we've seen most of these movies, but maybe you have to be looking at it from the standpoint of, like, you're not going to go to someone that is, like, resistant to becoming vegetarian or vegan and be like, all right, here's 7 movies that you have to watch all on a different topic.
I would.
But I don't know. Maybe it is better that they all touch on it a little bit, but it's like they obviously can't go in depth with those issues when they're just talking about it in a one sentence or a one minute segment.
Yeah, I think that's like a difficult line that all these filmmakers have to decide how they're going to walk it, because, you know, when people are confronted with the fact that what they're doing every day, 3 times a day, is unethical, people get on the defensive. But if it's kind of like, hey, here's a movie you can watch that's going to help your health, I feel like people are way more likely to not feel as defensive, because they're like, I am embarking on this journey right now. I'm learning information about how I can help myself. Whereas if it's ethical, often it's like, this is what you're doing that's horrible to animals and you need to stop because you're doing a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, obviously you could frame the health thing like you're doing a bad thing to your body, but more likely, I mean, the way this film does it, is they're actually really trying to drive home how pissed off we should all be that this is information that's not readily available, that's not being used by doctors, that's not being used by lawmakers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the film was necessarily very successful at instilling that anger. And maybe for someone who had just never even heard or thought about government and money corrupting things, maybe that would seem like shocking, but it just felt like they were just like, they kept trying to drive that point home and it never quite landed. Like you said, Forks Over Knives has a lot more punch to it.
And now that I think about it, I think this is weird to me, especially because this movie is like related to Forks Over Knives, right? It's the same,
same producer, same writer.
Yeah. Same, a lot of the same people are in the movie, but that's interesting to me because I feel like Plant Pure Nation makes a lot of the same points, just like you said, with slightly less of the punch. Maybe I said that, but it has like all your favorite scenes, such as like the guy that used to take 5 medications and now only takes 3 medications, the woman that has diabetes and now doesn't have diabetes. It's like the same. It's really the same. It's a lot of the same things.
When you say same movie, but like no punch. It feels like a Seinfeld bit. No punch. No punch. It's almost like watching it, I was kind of like, this seems like a totally adequately made film. Certainly, it's like, I'd say technically much better made than Unity, but even much more technically better made than Speciesism or Vegucated. And like Vegucated kind of has a similar thing where it's like, hey, we're going to take these people and we're going to get them through vegan boot camp and see how they feel and follow their journey. It wasn't above and beyond what it needed to be. It wasn't visually interesting. There was no beautiful cinematography. And the sound design was actually, I don't know if it's the TV or what, but it was kind of all over the place.
And we have a pretty good TV.
It was like, sometimes the background music was louder than the, and I don't know what's up with that.
Sometimes they put like effects on people's voices and stuff like that. It was very strange.
Yeah, so some of that was kind of odd. But anyway, but otherwise, it was a totally adequately made film. But I was kind of watching it and going, like, who is this for? And I have my guesses on that. We could talk about that in a second. But also, why is this being made? What is this bringing to the table that we don't already have?
Can I answer that? Or we go continue?
Well, I'd say the only thing is sort of it, this whole, the narrative thrust of the lawmaking aspect of it, which Paul and I kept remarking about how they kept trying to wring suspense and excitement out of this process. And it's like,
through the music they were using.
Yeah. It just like everything for the most part kept going well.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Until the end. But like it's not, like, real life isn't House of Cards where like getting laws passed is this like full of deception and deal making, and it's like, yeah, that stuff exists, but it's like in documentary format, it's going to be really hard to sort of make this like old white guy standing around talking in a room
with a piece of paper taped on his computer.
Will the gentleman from Jefferson yield to the gentleman from Georgia? Yeah. And it's just, it's not that exciting. And so, I mean, that was my overall impression of the film was, this isn't exciting to watch, and I would rather show someone Forks Over Knives than this. Like, Cowspiracy is exciting. It gives you this, like, mystery story that you're trying to follow. And Forks Over Knives, I don't know. It just has more energy and vibrancy to the film. I will say that, like, Nelson Campbell, it's not exactly an exciting person to follow. He's just very white bread, like, just, he's fine, but he's just very vanilla, and there's nothing about him that makes you, that compels you to listen to him.
And I think, like, when you're making a documentary of this style where it's like, oh, I'm doing something, so I'm just gonna, like, film it and make a documentary about it, which is what Cowspiracy was, too, basically. It's like, oh, I'm kind of going on this journey and filming this. I feel like it's like, it could just, Cowspiracy ended up working out very well. It was like exciting. Whereas Plant Pure Nation, it's like, like you were saying, it's like nothing really that exciting happens, but then they're still like, all right, we're going to make a movie out of this now. And it's just like, you don't have that much exciting material. And then you're trying to make an exciting movie about it. Whereas Forks Over Knives wasn't trying to do that. It wasn't trying to like, it wasn't trying to be some like journey.
I guess it's been a while since I've watched it too. But yeah, it didn't feel like they're trying to make something out of a thing that was already happening. It felt like they're like, this is the point that we want to make. How are we going to make this point? Whereas Plant Pure Nation is kind of like you just said, I'm going to be doing this thing, so I might as well film it. And he kind of says that in the film, like, I'm doing this 10-day Kickstart thing, so I figured I should film it.
Yeah.
And that is becoming the thing that we're watching. Yeah.
And go.
I didn't have all these negative feelings while watching it. I was just kind of like, oh, this is kind of boring. And now we're talking about it. I'm like, man, why did you make this film? Like,
well, I think that's actually what I was going to answer.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons why the important reasons about the film is at the very end, they're kind of like, oh, you can join the like a plant pure pod. Is that what it's called?
Plant Pure Pod.
and it didn't elaborate on it at all, but what we kind of gathered was probably like, in your community, you organize this 10-day jumpstart thing. We can, you know what? We have computers in front of us. I'm going to Google, because I'm sure it's on their, I would hope that it's on their website. There's a little tab called Plant Pure Pods, And it says, why should you become a member? Pods create an environment where like-minded people can work together to spread the message of plant-based nutrition in their communities, but also have fun and build relationships. As a pod member, you can educate people on the connections of a plant-based lifestyle to our health, the environment, farming, animal welfare, and food and health inequities.
Vague.
Yeah, so it doesn't... Okay, so I lied. The website doesn't really... Like, unless I sign up for it to become a member, which I'm not going to do on the company time right now.
Is that a pay thing? Is it free to sign up?
Let's see. It does say click to create a free account.
Okay.
So I would assume it's free. But
good assumption.
Okay, so I assumed it was like you were organizing these 10-day things. This kind of more makes it seem like it's a way for, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, it's just a way for people who want to spread this message to kind of... communicate with each other, to like build to that community online before you go out. If you just saw this movie on your own and you didn't have anyone else to like discuss it with or work through it with, that's what it seems like. So, but I still go back to my original point, which is I think that that's the purpose of this. Like, it seemed like, because I think what a lot of these types of movies, not a lot, some of them, like Unity, don't do is they like tell you a problem and then they don't give you any steps to take besides just be like, be nice to everybody. So this is kind of like, oh, it, or the, what the movie's trying to do, I felt like, is like, here's the problem. It's like, we know that a plant-based diet is going to be better for people, but like people are resistant to it and politicians are resistant to it, blah, 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 blah. And here's the solution is join these plant pods, even though it doesn't really... specify what you're doing with them. It could be a cult for all we know, who knows. But Plant Pure Pods.
I mean, the name Plant Pure Nation is kind of a little just a little offsetting or just a little off kilter to me. Just like the idea of anyone being pure. It's like, you know, when like straight edge kids, which we both are, but when they're like, I'm pure, and it's like, you're not really pure. Yeah. And I don't know, there's just some like Aryan Nation, like,
yeah,
like aspect when you're talking about people as being pure, even though they explained why he chose that word. And it's just, it's a nice alliteration. And I don't obviously think that's what they're trying to do with it, but it is kind of like, it almost, it sets up this dichotomy between obviously these whole food plant-based people and meat eaters, but also even whole food plant-based folks and vegans who don't ascribe to that specific thing. And I would love to talk a little bit later on about how those kind of conflicts play out.
Yeah, and you had kind of already mentioned this before about how when you talk to someone about the ethics of eating vegan, there is a lot of like immediate like defenses set up by the person because you're attacking their ethics, and I think that's a completely normal reaction to that type of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you had mentioned, when you're talking about the health, like eating a plant-based lifestyle, a lot of times it can be framed as like, oh, I'm an individual and I'm like trying to improve my life, and it can be a very like rewarding journey to think about.
Yeah.
But one possible side effect of this, the term plant pure, is like you were just saying, is it's now, it's again going back to the other thing where you're saying like, the way that I'm doing things is pure and the way that you're doing things is not pure. And that's going to set up, make those defenses get, those walls get put up where people are going to be resistant to it.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's probably just an issue of maybe semantics, yeah. But, and just like having a cool name for the film.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a little, it's a little odd. Just yeah. A little odd could potentially be a thing.
And on the... Okay, I'm on the plantpurepods.com/frequentlyaskedquestions. What is the Plant Pure Pod program? PPPP. The Plant Pure Pods program is a free program that offers a comprehensive suite of support.
Their clothing store?
Of support services to networks of existing group leaders and their organizations, which we refer to as pods. Examples of these groups include local meetups, vegan, vegetarian societies, churches, schools, associations, and even corporate wellness programs. This gives existing organizations the ability to instantly offer a wealth of value-added services to their members, recruit new members, and connect into a more unified force to make a bigger impact in their communities. We also offer these pod support. We offer these pod support services to people committed to starting and leading new independent groups that actively promote plant-based nutrition in their local communities.
All right. So bring it back to the question of what is this for? What's the point of the film? I don't know if it's necessarily to get people in these pods, but it feels like the filmmakers needed more of that call to action, which is often missing from so many films. So instead of just leaving it at, hey, you should eat a plant-based whole food, you know, whole food plant-based diet, you can also find this community. And we've talked about that before, that making these transitions, you know, we talk about it in terms of the ethics, but like even just trying to do it for your health, it can feel lonely if you don't have someone to do it with you. And so by having a community means people are more likely to stick with it. So,
yeah,
I mean, that seems like that's, you know, sort of the obvious sort of end game of the film, and this is obviously moving people towards being more open to this. And then I asked the question, who is the film for? And do you have any guesses?
I think probably not for vegans. I think it's not like you said before. I had the same reaction when we were watching it, I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is a bad movie. It was just kind of like, okay, it's like I've kind of seen this movie before. I've seen this type of movie. I've seen this type of information before. I didn't really get too much benefit out of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's for people that haven't thought about this kind of stuff before. Again, yeah. I would show people Forks Over Knives over this movie, but if Forks Over Knives didn't exist, this would be the type of thing where I'd be like, if I thought that someone was going to be persuaded by it, like a health argument, I would show them this.
Yeah. So do you think it's a good tool in general for vegans to be using, or you just feel like it's a second rate thing, Forks Over Knives, in every instance of someone being interested in the health side of stuff, Forks Over Knives will be better?
Well, I think I should watch Forks Over Knives again, because, I mean, maybe now I would feel the same way watching Forks Over Knives, where I'd be like, oh, this is kind of just like information that I've heard before. I see people posting about it on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily takes away from it, because there are going to be people that have never thought about this kind of stuff before. But if I had to choose between the two, I think I would show people Forks Over Knives instead. Like you said, it's just a little more engaging, like the graphics are a little more fun. It's just, I don't know, it's a little more captivating.
Yeah. Although I do have to say, I thought that in general, the sort of computer graphics they used were pretty good. That's kind of the one thing one of the few things I didn't love about Cowspiracy, is that the computer graphics seemed a little bit lacking. And, you know, the complete package of getting people to pay attention to a message is if something seems authoritative and professional and all that stuff in many cases. And that's like the one thing that was kind of lacking. Whereas on this, I did think, oh, this is like a very well made computer graphic for this type of documentary.
And they turned the political system into a little board game.
They sure did. And I would love to play it. It would put me to sleep. But so if I was to be asked who I think the film is for, for the first probably 40 minutes of the film, I would have said old white people. It was very much just sort of these like middle age to, you know, 60, 70, whatever year old, like white men most of the time, some women in there, and most of the experts that they turn to also fit that demographic. Mm-hmm. And so it made me think about an experience that I had, which is I was invited to speak at a library, just like a local town library in, I forget the town in Connecticut, like Higginham or something, and about a vegan 101. And I had three sections. I had ethical, environmental, and health. And the crowd was exclusively 40 plus year olds, and they were interested in the ethical, environmental stuff. It was like captivating to them. but their ears really perked up when I talked about the health mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, I did a 45-minute presentation and I did a 45-minute Q&A, and every single question was about health and like a few things about preparing food. So it sort of, it seems like natural that the health aspect will be speaking to people that are in a point in their lives where health is typically considered to start to decline. Mm-hmm. And so as I was watching, I was like, maybe this would be a better film to show to certain people of that kind of age demographic. Yeah. And it was also interesting that, you know, they went into churches and they have Steve Forbes, and they say, oh, he runs Forbes magazine. But they also interestingly put that he was a former Republican presidential candidate, which is not, I mean, I guess that's a part of his identity, but that's not like how I think of him. And it felt like they're trying to like reach that, you know, that kind of like, you know, middle-aged white male Republican, which is someone that is not typically focused on by vegan advocacy groups.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have all these sorts of metrics about who's most likely to go vegan, and that's where we should focus our attention on. And it's, you know, young people and especially like young women. So obviously that pushes those other people as not getting focused, but it's like, okay, maybe this film is good to reach those people. And in the beginning, you know, they plugged Bill Clinton pretty hard.
Yeah.
Even though he is, you know, said he's not a vegan anymore, but yeah, ex-vegan. but and so they're kind of really sort of putting these people in that like older folks will see as more of like role models or people to look to.
Yeah.
Whereas Forks Over Knives has that, because obviously Esselstyn and Campbell are in the film extensively, and there's some other older folks in it, and they have the whole thing about erectile dysfunction. I don't know if you remember that segment.
I don't remember that.
Where the guy says the flag still rises.
I do not. I've seen that movie a few times and I do not remember that scene.
It always gets a laugh. It's very odd, really odd, like non sequitur. But the, you know, they also have like Mac Danzig and, the MMA fighter and stuff. And maybe that's not as relatable to that crowd, even mm-hmm. though it's like, oh, here's a healthy person that's doing it. And I think Mac Danzig's the only person that says vegan in the film, or one of two people that says vegan. So in that regard, maybe that is a better tool for that type of crowd.
For all the dads out there.
All the dads out there. All the khaki wearing, polo shirt tucked in.
Forbes magazine reader.
Exactly. But that being said, it's still not very captivating. It's hard for you to imagine even people in that demographic feeling captivated by this film.
Yeah.
It's just, it almost just feels like it's like medicine you have to take. Here's like a homework assignment that you have to read or you have to watch to learn this information that's going to help you. And that I feel like that's going to be probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks towards this film getting the exposure that Forks Over Knives did.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say it feels like a medicine you have to take, because it spends the whole movie saying this is what you're going to be able to stop taking medicine.
Yeah.
A little bit of nice wordplay there, Andy.
Yeah. So all that being said, and I guess we just listed a bunch of things we don't like, but was there anything else that you really liked about the film?
There was nothing like, besides it being not captivating, it's like there really wasn't that much. There wasn't anything like terrible about it, I didn't think. There was nothing like really, really bad. And again, I think it was just kind of boring because we know all this stuff already.
I think also though the people in it were just boring.
Yeah.
It's like lawmakers and just, you know, again, these kind of very vanilla people.
But then how was Cowspiracy was like the same, a lot of the same things I thought, but that movie seemed more engaging.
It was significantly more engaging. Well, one, I think, you know, they framed it as a mystery and they're in danger for making these messages, and they're interviewing people like Howard Lyman, who's very animated, or Lauren Ornelas, or like Will Potter, and people that have like interesting things to say.
Yeah.
And I guess like I would agree that Kip, the main protagonist, wasn't the most like interesting, but there was something very relatable about this sort of kind of everyman that's trying to do the best he can for the environment and just trying to learn and having these heroes that have failed him. And it was also just a beautifully shot film.
Yeah.
People can listen to our interview with Keegan, the co-director and the person behind the camera. And he really knows what he's doing. Everything that I've seen him do is just beautiful. So it's just like, it's a beautiful film to look at, as much as they can make that type of documentary a beautiful film. And it's a compelling, you know, narrative that you're following along. Whereas in that, like you said, it felt like it just worked out well. And I think that's not giving them enough credit for how intentional they were and the journey they were taking.
Or like the editing and whatever, too.
Yeah. And even though Keegan didn't necessarily say it in our interview, I still feel like they basically knew exactly how everything was going to play out before they started filming it. They didn't know how certain interviews were gonna turn out, but I think they really planned it out well. Whereas this was just kind of following along with the thing they were doing, and it just ultimately was like, oh, that happened. That's mildly upsetting. That was cool. And now join a plant pod.
Yeah. Well, what did you did? What was like a good thing that you thought about the movie?
I always like hearing Dr. Greger talk. He's this like the Seinfeld of doctors. They gave him like a nice amount of screen time in the beginning, and I feel like he was probably the one that was the closest to instilling any source of or sense of anger at the fact that this information isn't, you know, part of the public sphere in the way that it should. But yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of neither here nor there. Like it was fine. It was totally acceptable. I wouldn't feel bad about showing it to someone, but I also wouldn't grab people and say, you need to watch this in the same way that I did with Cowspiracy or even Forks Over Knives.
Yeah.
That Forks Over Knives is something I revisited a few times and had people watch. And I think I had my parents watch. And is just what?
Me too.
Yeah. And this one is just kind of like, it's there. It's an arsenal in your tool belt if perhaps you are speaking to a certain person, but overall, not so much. And I guess the other thing that kind of bothered me, but I don't think it was intentional, but there was a bit of a white savior complex thing happening. Like the main time when there's any people of color was when Nelson was going to churches and like, hey, here's how you can like save yourselves. And it, you know, they didn't really dive into that, so there's not enough to pick apart in it, but it was something that was kind of like, you know, it was a lot of white people in the film, and they talked about food deserts, which I think was admirable, mm-hmm. but then they sort of kind of present it in this way that's like, hey, this is how we can go in and help these people, as opposed to here's how we can, you know, maybe help empower folks to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I don't know if the film didn't like give me enough to like really analyze how they're feeling about it, but that was something that was there that kind of irked me a little bit.
Yeah. So do you want to transition the conversation into talking about where the health argument falls in terms of promoting veganism or getting people to become vegan?
Yeah.
Can I start?
Go for it.
All right. So as we've kind of already mentioned, it's like one good thing about using, we'll just call it the health argument, is that I feel like it tends to not elicit the kind of walled off response that maybe bringing up the ethical argument does. And while both Andy and myself are primarily vegans because of the animal aspect of it, it's like if you could get someone to eat less meat or give up animal products completely, it's like it shouldn't really matter. Well, we've talked about this before too, but it's like that's what your goal is, and that's why you want it to. That's what you want people to do. You're not like as the world is right now. It's like not everyone is going to agree with those ethics. I don't think, unfortunately.
I said this before and I'll say it again. Not with that attitude.
and where we are right now, where veganism is kind of like the veganism is definitely like the minority like diet in the world, or we'll just talk about in the U.S. And it does have like a kind of stigma to it still. It's like where we're at right now. It's like I would think that you should be using, like, I don't know, you should have different tools in your toolbox that you can use to help people, to help promote it. And it's like maybe like once if a person starts giving up meat, starts giving up animal products because of the health reasons, it's like I am positive that if that was happening, they would be less likely to set up those like defensive walls when you then tried to bring up the like the ethical portion of it. Because if it's something that they're already kind of eliminating, they're not going to feel as though it's like, oh, this person is attacking my lifestyle, attacking how I'm doing, if they're actively trying to give that up anyways. So it's like, I think that starting with, if you know someone, and obviously this comes along with building a relationship with someone, knowing that person and knowing like if they would respond well to like a movie like Forks Over Knives or something like that. Cause obviously it's not for everyone either. But I think it's like they would be much more receptive to talking about ethics down the line if they're already giving up some meat.
Yeah. No, I agree that to just sort of, it's a tool, the health argument is a tool, and to just totally exclude it from your tool belt or toolbox, mm-hmm. of your tool carrying preferences, would be faulty. But yeah, it's for me, the end of the health argument is proving that being vegan can be as healthy as someone who is not vegan. Because there's a million different ways to eat vegan, just as there are a million different ways to eat not vegan. Mm-hmm. And that we meaning the vegan community, run into problems when we make claims that eating vegan, period, is the healthiest way mm-hmm. to eat. Because maybe the healthiest way to eat is eating this whole food plant-based diet with no oils or no that. But like eating a piece of salmon like once a year, like slightly increases your chances of survival, like whatever it is, like mm-hmm. there's always room, like wiggle room, where someone could say, well, actually you could incorporate this amount of animal flesh or this secretion and it's better. And so you run into like something that's going to be hard to officially prove, but it's easy to prove that being vegan can be as healthy as anyone who's eating animal products. Mm. So that's why like a film like this, like Plant Pure Nation, isn't really my go-to, but I do like using, say, Forks Over Knives in combo with, and I think I said this in the Unity review, that if I was to get 6 hours of someone's time and they were like, show me, you know,
Clockwork Orange stuff.
Yeah. Show me three films to get me on board with your point of view. And it would be Earthlings, it would be Forks Over Knives, and it would be Cowspiracy, because mm-hmm. that attacks those three main spheres of veganism
yeah.
very efficiently. So it should be like a part of the argument, but
I think we're coming from slightly different places because when you say like, because like I do agree that you should at least be using the health argument to make the claim that it's possible to live on a vegan
diet. And I would say like easily possible well, not like some hard reach to like, you know, make it.
Yeah. And it's like, that's 100% important, but that's not, I don't think that's what Forks Over Knives is trying to do.
It's not. I mean, Forks Over Knives and Plant Pure Nation are both saying eating this way is significantly better yeah. than eating that. Which I mean, I do believe that is true. Like basically all the evidence that's out there is like, you should be eating a diet that's heavily consisting of whole food, plant-based foods, like fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, seeds, things like that. And I would not contest that at all. And certainly when I make the effort to exclusively eat that way for extended periods of time, I feel better doing so.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you could make the claim that eating that way, the way that they're like, because obviously, like you said, there are thousands of different ways you can eat vegan. Eating the way that they're saying that you should eat in Forks Over Knives and Plant Pure Nation is, quote, better than like what the quote average like American diet would be. I think that's like a fair claim. But then like what you bring up is that if someone is like a super fitness geek that does eat meat, it's like they are possibly like they're someone that is probably very deliberately chosen what they're eating for a very specific reason, and they're much less likely, I think, to be persuaded by a movie like Forks Over Knives, because they're thinking like, well, I've been eating this way for however long and I'm seeing like the results that I want to see.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I change the way I eat? So I think that goes back to what I was saying, is that it's like you want to, I mean, this is going to help you anyways. It's obviously not always possible with animal advocacy, but it's like, you want to know the person that you're talking to, that you're trying to maybe give up meat a little bit. And you would have to know if this type of movie would be effective for them, because again, if it's someone that is like has very specific, say, fitness goals, and they are hitting those goals with their current diet, they would probably be the ones that would like put up the walls when you're trying to show them Forks Over Knives, because they're going to be like, I'm not going to change the way that I'm eating, because it's like, I'm not going to change the way I'm eating for health reasons, because it's like, I'm already at the place that I want to be. So I guess just, it's like, you need to know who you're showing it to, but in that sense, I do think that it can be used as more than just making the point that it's possible to survive on a plant-based diet easily. I think that in situations it can be used as something like more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I don't totally disagree with that. I guess in terms of like the advocacy that I think is the most effective, taking it from square one from the health angle is what's dangerous. But again, mm-hmm. it should be a tool in your toolbox. And to bring it back to what you said, which is that if you get someone on board for health reasons, and I've talked to a lot of people that have had this kind of progression, is if they start doing it for health and then they're presented with ethical, then, you know, they're like, well, I'm already not doing that, so I'm on board with this. Yeah. I'm glad that what I'm doing also helps this. And I've met like countless people that have had that progression. Mm-hmm. Or when I was doing outreach, I would meet someone that's like, I'm already basically doing what you're advocating for, and seeing this video that you're showing me about animal agriculture, now I really want to go 100% full on for it. So I feel like it's an important piece of it. It can be that foot in the door for a lot of people. And so I do think it's important. And I do think that showing people vegan athletes that are excelling in their field can hopefully inspire those that are already hitting their fitness goals, but maybe they're like, maybe I could do even better if I was doing it on a plant-based diet. And I met Kenneth G. Williams a couple years ago on tour, and he was, I think, the first all vegan bodybuilder that was crowned, I forget, some award. I don't know anything about anything. And he was saying that people will listen to athletes before they'll listen to a doctor. And that's because athletes are doing it, where doctors are just sort of speaking from a theoretical standpoint.
Yeah.
and so sort of having those people that are very healthy and are sort of setting that example, I do think that's an important thing to have. Again, not, and this goes a lot back to the interview that we just did with Holly Knoll in episode 17, not to say that this is the ideal that you must achieve, but to say, if this is what you want to achieve, it is possible. And this is a model for one type of person that wants this type of body to do these types of sporting events or, you know, whatever athletic activity. It's possible for you, as long as you're not presenting it in a way that says this is the ideal, and if you fall short of it, then you're shit, or you're a bad vegan, or you're representing the cause poorly. And also, you know, just to not get people defensive, because I think there is a way when promoting health to get people defensive.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of stuff we've talked about before, like body shaming and fat shaming and things where you're just like, you're just like a lazy piece of shit, because you're mistreating your body. And, you know, that's not motivational at all.
Yeah. Just for the record, Kenneth G. Williams, when he was third in the 2004 Natural Olympia competition, and then the year before he won the World Natural Bodybuilding Championships.
So there you go.
The other thing is, when I promote like the health, or when I talk, I shouldn't say promote, when I talk about the health benefits or aspects of veganism, it's typically with people that I already have like a relationship, or it has just happened in like my place of work. That's people that I have a relationship with, people that already know that I'm vegan 99% for the animal reasons. So it's like, that's kind of nice, because they know that even though I'm giving the health benefits, it's like they still kind of understand that I'm giving the health benefits, but coming from a place where it's like I'm doing it for the animals. So that's kind of nice. I mean, obviously, if you're just like handing out leaflets or something like that, I don't know. Even that, those types of things, at least from my experience, you typically don't see people doing that kind of activism that are doing it for health reasons.
Yeah.
So it's like, even then, people still know that it's like, oh, okay, this person is about like animal advocacy. They're telling me about the health stuff, but it's like coming from a place of animal advocacy. So I think that, I don't even know why I brought this up. I think that just like, that makes it a little more, I guess, for me at least, that makes it even a little more okay to be talking about the health things. It's like, it's not that you're ignoring the animals, because for the most part, people still know that that's your like driving reason behind wanting to do this.
Yeah. And I think where it gets dangerous, and we already touched on this, but maybe we can expand on it more, is when you get that camp of people that are just so firmly entrenched that their way of being vegan or their way of eating plant-based is the way, that they start to shame everyone. And something that my friend JL Fields, she wrote a book called Vegan Pressure Cooking, and she does a little vegan radio show, and she's just a vegan, you know, and she gets a lot of friend requests from people who are like big into health side of stuff. And then she'll post a recipe and they'll be like, there's oil in this, sweetie. And it's just like this like battle that's like, we don't need this battle to be happening. Yeah. Like there's, you know, we talk about divisive and stuff within the vegan movement. And I think a lot of it is maybe rightly so in terms of bigger issues, like racism and sexism and stuff. But then it's like, we don't really need to be feeling divided or having battles over how to be vegan, in terms of like, well, you have to promote oil free, you have to promote salt free, sugar free, yeah. You have to promote what the movie is promoting, whole food, plant-based diet. And, like to me that creates this really weird dichotomy. And then it's bad because it's like vegans versus vegans or plant-based versus vegan. But then it also just gets people who are not already on board just feeling really defensive about how they're eating, when you just have someone that's constantly telling them that what they're doing isn't good enough.
Well, but doesn't that also apply to the animal ethics of it too? Like, isn't that very, very similar, saying like what you're doing isn't good enough?
Well, I think that there's a difference, whereas someone that is eating animals, that's not good enough. but if they, how they choose to not eat animals should always be good enough.
But to someone that does eat animals, aren't those two things going to seem like exactly the same to person?
Well, I think that's where we're failing as a movement, is separating the health and the ethics. Because so many people assume that vegans don't eat animals for health reasons, especially vegetarians. They think that they're not eating animal flesh for health reasons. And it's like, people associate veganism with what they eat. They don't associate it with not wearing leather, mm-hmm. not going to the zoo, opposing animal testing. Some people might, but like for the vast majority of people, what you eat is exclusively what veganism is. And so I think that's sort of a failure on our part, to really actively differentiate those things.
All right. I feel like that kind of walked around my question.
Well, and so I think that it's also a matter of how you're doing your advocacy. So, like someone who is eating animals, I don't think that that's good enough. But as we've talked about extensively, presenting that in a way where it's like, hey, it's great that you're taking this step. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about taking this next step? That's different than if I go and I go, you're not good enough. You're not doing well enough. Yeah. You're doing horrible. What's wrong with you? You're vegetarian, but you're not vegan. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You're not good enough. That's like way different than saying, oh, you're vegetarian. That's fucking great. Have you ever thought about trying some almond milk? Or have you thought about trying the Follow Your Heart vegan egg? Or, you know, like those are totally different things. Yeah. And it's just sort of how you present it that's going to get people defensive. And so it's like, yes, of course, I think if someone is eating animals, that that's not good enough for the animals because they're being killed.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, other than in this conversation for this purpose of fleshing it out, that's not really language that I would ever use, even with most vegans, but certainly not language I would use with someone that is consuming animals.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you too. I'm just kind of pushing you on this because I think it's like if we want to be effective advocates, we need to think about how the people that are unlike us, the people that are eating animals, how they are thinking. And to me, it seems like those two things, it seems like they could come off in the exact same way. Someone that's saying, you're not like, I guess the difference would be the health vegan is going to say like, what your diet isn't good enough, or it's not pure enough because you're like destroying your body. And then the animal advocate is going to say like, or could say, obviously this, I don't think this would be the most effective way of doing it, but it's like, your diet isn't good enough because you're like killing animals. But to that person that's maybe has never thought about this kind of stuff before, all they're hearing is like, I'm like, or all they could be possibly hearing is like, I'm better than you. Like what you're doing isn't good enough. Like I'm the morally superior one to you. And it's like, that's, and I'm like, I think that's just like a possible pitfall that if at all possible, you want to avoid that because it's someone, they're going to get immediately defensive and they're going to fight back. And maybe, with like the, maybe it comes off more morally superior. Like maybe health vegans come off more like that more often than animal advocates. But I don't know.
I would say there's a fair share of a lot of vegans who are just always sort of presenting their case in a very smug way. But I mean, I feel like most of the vegans that I sort of are kind of in my circle are in line with what we're talking about and how we're trying to present it. And the you know, it's not like you have to be nice all the time. There's times when being stern with someone, it's like you were saying, it's sort of knowing your audience, know who you're talking to, and know if giving someone a little bit of shit is going to speak to them more than someone just being very polite and nice all the time. And I mean, when I'm doing outreach, you know, it's just like trying to gauge quickly, was this person's demeanor? And if they start joking around and being kind of a jerk, I joke around, be kind of a jerk back, and we laugh together. And then that gets you on the same page and you can have that conversation. Whereas if you're kind of a jerk to someone that's being very nice to you, that's not going to work.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't think that like you, I could never see you specifically being like this. But it's like,
fuck you, Paul.
But it's like, I really don't think in any situation coming off as like the morally superior person of the conversation is ever going to convince anyone to change their mind about something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. And I mean, that's like a thing that you see often as a defense from non-vegans, which is, what, you think you're better than me? And you see that even when the person that's vegan doesn't ever really even do anything to necessarily suggest that. Like, even if they're just kind of laying out the facts on the table, And so that's just something that people automatically jump to is, well, you think you're better than me. And like my, you know, one half of me just wants to be like, oh, so billions of animals are living lives of abject misery and forced to go through this brutal slaughter just for the sake of your taste buds. And you're worried about if I think I'm better than you, like, fuck you. How dare you make that the issue? Yeah. You're just deflecting the issue. But that's not what's going to get them to get on my side. So it's like, rarely is that what I'm going to say to a person. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
rarely,
you know, every now and then you got to left some steam. Tumblr is a hell of a place, but yeah, like most of the time, what I'm trying to do is to get people is to just be relatable, get on the same page, find that common ground with someone and work from there. And I think a big way to sort of deflect that before it ever happens is making yourself relatable and talking about how you used to eat a lot of animals. And not everyone has this story because some people are vegetarian or whatever from birth, but for most people it's like, yeah, man, like, oh, someone's like, oh, but meat's delicious. And you're like, I know, I love meat. It's the best thing ever. I eat it more than anybody. I used to eat quad stackers from Burger King. But then I realized I could get all that taste and texture from something else. And I was like, oh, this is so great. Cause like I can, you know, I don't have to hurt animals. And, you know, like I, you know, it's like when you admit, when like you really throw someone off guard and you're like, yeah, meat tastes good. And people are like, whoa, oh, wait, what? Like it just totally, if you sort of admit your faults or that you came from where they're at right now, mm-hmm. and not do it in a way that's like, I was once like you, you know, making yourself relatable is a really good way to sort of get yourself on the same page with someone and let them know that like, I know you'd be like, I used to know vegans that were like jerks and it never made me want to do it. But then I met some really cool vegans who kind of showed me how to do stuff and doing things like that makes people less likely to have them go, well, you just think you're better than me.
Yeah. And I think when you said before that, sometimes it's like, sometimes what you're saying isn't projecting that idea at all of moral superiority, but then someone will still come back at you and say like, oh, you think that you're better than me. I think for some people, the reason that comes up is because they're having like, it could be that they're having like the internal ethical conflict about what they think about what's right and what's wrong and what they're actually living. And that kind of just like manifests itself into like, you're the person that like is making me feel this way. Like, fuck you for making me feel that way. Which is like, I think that's I would think that's a pretty natural reaction to be like, fuck you for making me feel like so uncomfortable. And maybe it's like, maybe it's good that's happening, but it's still like, it sucks to feel like that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's been said that feeling uncomfortable is like sort of a necessary part of unlearning oppressive behaviors, and whether mm-hmm. that's sexism or racism or, you know, speciesism, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, maybe what you're doing is going to be the thing that shakes someone out of their thing. But it's like, even when you know you're in the wrong in these situations, I've certainly gone through this where I'm like, just immediately defensive about something that I've done. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I was probably wrong. But you have to give it a week before you can think about it again. And be like, I was wrong. I'm sorry that I did this thing. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, it's hard to unlearn that stuff. So it's tricky to know what's going to be the thing that slowly pulls them over this to the vegan side, to the light side. And, or, you know, what sort of shocks them into it and just making that immediate jump. It's a tough thing to do, but
and it's different for like every single person is going to react differently to everything that you say to them.
Yeah. So, but in my general experience, it's better to be polite and not get people defensive.
I agree. And it just makes for less like awkward, unpleasant conversations.
Yeah. Exactly. So, cool. Yes. Well, I feel like that probably wraps up the discussion, unless you had any further thoughts.
Would you recommend people see Plant Pure Nation?
Not really, but I also wouldn't recommend that they don't. Like, if what we're talking about, if the description of the film speaks to you, if you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting, or if you're kind of like me, where I like to see all the stuff that comes out so I can know, is this a tool for me to use or not? you know, I wouldn't advise either way. I wouldn't say you have to rush out and see it. I also wouldn't say avoid at all costs. You know, yeah. It's like on a scale of like unity to cowspiracy, it's a 5. It's right in the middle.
Yeah. I completely agree. I would say if it happens to like come across, if it's, I don't know if it's ever going to be on Netflix or anything like that, and you have some free time, it won't hurt to watch it. There's not like weird like negative stuff going on. So
yeah, and again, I was kind of expecting to go in and just it be just like fat shaming the movie or something. And it handled that like pretty delicately. And usually whenever they talked about weight, it was kind of the people that were doing the jump start saying, and I lost a little bit of weight. And it was never like, you know, I like that they focused on like heart health and cholesterol.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel,
which going back to Forks Over Knives, they possibly did some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I can't
think. I don't remember feeling any. There was no moment in either of the films when I went, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff that I'm like, you know, this is not what I would choose to use to promote, you know, veganism or animal rights or whatever. But there's nothing that it seemed, you know, maybe someone else has a different take on it. But it didn't seem like actively harmful to any of the other causes that were going on.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so see it if you want.
That's our recommendation. Yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, it's no Star Wars. So, all right.
What do you think about any vegan issues in the Star Wars movie?
I don't know, but I was watching a Jedi, Return of the Jedi, and there's a scene with Jabba the Hutt. You know how he has that little like water bowl of little critters?
Yeah.
I think there's actually a large big frog in there that seemed to be an actual. So
boycott Star Wars.
So now that we've talked about Star Wars briefly, we can make this episode should vegans boycott Star Wars and get a million hits.
Yes.
Cool. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Paul and I are actually hanging around to go watch Racing Extinction, and we're going to do a review of that for next week.
Yeah.
And I am shortly about to make the trek from snowy, well, not even snowy, Connecticut.
70-degree Connecticut.
Tropical Connecticut all the way to Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you happen to be in Arizona, come out to the Arizona Veg Food Fest January 9th and 10th. I'll be there at the Compassion Company table.
And if you happen to be in Connecticut, come by my house.
Just drive around Connecticut yelling Paul.
I'll probably be at Chinatown.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Let's send us out.
All right. We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off. I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. But when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. The documentary film Plant Pure Nation tells the story of three people on a crest to spread the message of on
one
a
of
crest.
Plot synopsis from IMDb. The documentary.
Three people on a quest.